CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang and Steve Yates to the America First Policy Initiative on China to comment on China, but before 9/11/2001, 9/11/2023. Steve, a very good evening to you. Your memories of 9/11/2001. You were on the staff at the White House. What can you tell us? Good evening to you, Steve.
Well, good evening, John. Well, memories are too plentiful to share in any kind of brevity, but it was obviously an extremely jarring experience to be evacuated out of what was sacred ground, something that had not happened in the modern times of a foreign attack coming, the thousands of people having to get evacuated from the White House, the just immense uncertainty about what was happening, how many attacks were coming, what would this all mean? But as I thought about it and sent out a message this morning about it, one of the most important takeaways for me was getting up the next morning at 6 a.m. and being at the job, on the job, with new resolve pushing forward, just reminding everyone that we should never forget these kinds of terrible things, and we should love America. It's a special place. These places to me were sacred, whether it was the White House, the Capitol, the Pentagon, and in a way the Twin Towers and the images of our country and the story of those brave souls who, because their flight was delayed, they knew much more about what their likely fate was going to be than the other flights. And they took things into their own hand, potentially saving thousands more lives and more of our national institutions along the way. So it's a somber memory in some ways, but in a lot of ways, if we think of it the right way, I think it more deeply commits us to the American experiment. And we do something truly American, which is to pick up, work together, and move forward. Now, today, do we have that same ethos? That's why we must never forget, because we face, I think, an even greater challenge today.
Thank you. And Gordon, your memories of 9/11.
On the day before, I was in Chicago talking about China, and I also mentioned terrorism and China's support for it. 9/11, we were going to drive home. Couldn't, of course. We did get a car at O'Hare the day after, and we started the long drive from Chicago to Bedminster, New Jersey. And it was on the night of the 12th or the morning of the 13th. I think it was the morning of the 13th. We were on Route 80, driving in the dark. I was driving. And Lydia was in the passenger seat, and she saw five or six emergency vehicles from Chicago with American flags flying. And Lydia waved to them, and they waved back to her. And she's always said, that was the night that she became an American. I will never forget.
It is 22 years later, and we have much more in front of us now than we did, to my memory, in 2001. The People's Republic of China is an adversary of great weight. And so I begin our conversation of the moment with a quote that is in a CNN report of the president's press conference, I believe in Vietnam, on his way home from the G20. I don't want to contain China. Just that quote. Steve, what does that mean? What interpretations do you bring to that? The word contain is extremely reminding of the first Cold War.
Well, John, the first reaction I have to that is it's incredibly tragic evidence that the president and his team are stuck in the past in a well-worn pattern of diplomatic talk that has failed the American people in the world in multiple ways and in multiple times. It's one that believes that maniacal, destructive forces in the world somehow can be happy talked into following rules and being dissuaded from attacking our way of life. One of the lessons supposedly of 9/11 that applies to this now is people came to an awareness that whether we wanted to declare a war or not was not really a material question. A war had nonetheless been declared on us. The only choice was whether and how we were going to respond. It took tremendous shock and cost to awaken the American spirit to begin that response. But there was no talking about not wanting to contain an evil force that was going to stop that evil force from doing what it did. And I think the same is true today with the Communist Party of China under Xi Jinping. It has already attacked America in a number of ways, on health with COVID and with fentanyl and a number of different things. Economically, the stories are legion. National security, we can go down the list there too. And really, I think fundamentally what this "I don't want to contain China" statement reveals is a lack of seriousness and awareness about what's really being done. And the president's the last person on the planet with an excuse for that, with all of the intelligence, all the diplomatic communications, all of the media, and all of the country there to tell him otherwise.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, during that same press conference in Vietnam, Biden said something like, and this is almost a direct quote, "I want to see China succeed economically, but I want to see them succeed by the rules." And just going to your point, China is not playing by any set of rules. And it seems that really what we're talking about is a president who doesn't understand what's going on, or at least he is not leveling with the American people, because in August at a Democratic Party fundraiser in Utah, he talked about China as a ticking time bomb. And he said the consequence is because when bad things happen to bad people, they do bad things. And so we're talking about a president who at least one point last month understood what was happening and understood the consequences, but now is not willing to say that when he's in public and on the world stage talking to the American people and the people of the world.
I think that also is tragic, because you would have thought that this is one of the lessons of the information age. You can't have a private conversation about a serious topic and then have a very different public conversation without the video, transcript, sound, or otherwise coming out and exposing your contradiction. And that contradiction is an open invitation for adversaries to confuse, divide, obstruct, whatever it is they want to do to seek an advantage. It also is a fundamental dereliction of duty. I mean, a president's first job is to help provide for the common defense and to be a commander in chief, to inform and rally the American people so that we can have a sober approach to the challenge that is upon us. We don't get to pick the challenges. We get to pick our response. And happy talk is not a defensive strategy and is not one that is going to contain the malign influences of the Communist Party of China.
Steve, Xi Jinping did not attend the G20. Vladimir Putin didn't either. And understandably so, he's accused as a war criminal, but not Xi Jinping. What is your comment about Xi skipping his first and only G20 that he didn't attend?
Well, first, I think that China and Russia, but especially China, is trying to create the image of a world without America. And so there was much more of a vestment in trying to support BRICS and BRICS expansion, which is a network that covers a lot of non-aligned movement countries and some partners in the Middle East, Latin America, elsewhere, that excludes America. So that is, I think, one motivation. The other, obviously, all is not well inside China for its leader to be cautious about going out onto the world stage. For the last generation plus, Chinese leaders were eager to take a spot at these kinds of summits to be able to gloat and give happy talk about their own opportunity at providing an alternative. Now, I think it's a much darker message about where they'll engage and where they won't.
Gordon, less than a minute if you have a quick question.
Steve, the narrative is that that Xi Jinping was trying to snub Modi. What do you think of that?
Well, there's no question that there's tension there. I wish the Indians would do more to actually stand up for themselves on these kinds of things, because they have a complicated relationship with China. But I think that Xi definitely doesn't want to appear to be a second fiddle, where the other billion people in Asia remind the world that you can live under a democracy and humanely engage with the world. India does that. China does not. Maybe Xi is correct in avoiding that comparison.
Steve Yates is chair of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiative. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.